Well, all right. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you today. Thanks for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And today I have the privilege of inviting you to join me in the book of Ecclesiastes, starting in chapter 3. And today we're continuing our sermon series titled Unsatisfied, Finding Eternal Purpose in a Temporary World. And if you're just joining us today, we're really excited about this sermon series. This is, of course, part of our ministry year-long theme, which is titled All In. And during the next several weeks, we're going to be going through the book of Ecclesiastes together. If you happen to have missed us last Sunday, Pastor Scott led us through chapter 2. Make sure you check that out online if you weren't here. You can find it on our Grove app or at our website. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and following today. And so we all know that today is Reformation Sunday. This evening, of course, is Halloween. But more importantly, tonight is the Golden Gourd Awards. Yeah, so that's very exciting. And every year, my family, my wife and kids, we have the privilege of going to see our high school students. And we're really excited about that. We're blown away with the creativity of our high school students. Some of you don't know even what I'm talking about. Make sure you ask one of our high school students afterwards, and you'll find out all about it. It's a lot of fun. And so that's this evening. High school students, I wish you the best. May the best man or woman win. And speaking of Halloween, honestly, I'm not a huge Halloween person. But I do enjoy seeing little kids dress up. It's kind of fun, right? Every year you kind of get to see what costumes are kind of popular. Cartoon figures, maybe it's a Marvel superhero or a Disney princess, something like that. I read this week, and I guess it's no surprise. It's unfortunate, I think, but certainly no surprise. This year, the most popular themed costume, did you guys see this week? Yeah, it's various costumes that spook or frighten or kind of represent death in some way. It's true. And as popular as Cinderella is this year, she can't compete with the ghost costume or the horror movie, kind of the latest horror movie costume, or the evil-looking clown costume, or, of course, the ever-popular zombie costume. And I find it interesting, isn't this interesting? Do you guys know what people fear most? It's death. It's kind of right there with public speaking. Death. It's the thing that people fear most. That and giving speeches. But isn't it interesting that the thing that people fear most, which is death, is the one thing that people want to dress up and even celebrate on a night like this? Jason, why do you mention that? Well, today we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And Solomon addresses this theme of death. And as Solomon surveys life under the sun, he's going to explain that there's a time for everything. And that includes death, of course. And he's going to make some observations about injustice, oppression, and the loss of life. And so it's a little bit of a gloomy topic at hand, but I'm telling you, this chapter is phenomenal. You're going to love it. I'm so glad that you're here. I kind of had to catch myself during the worship because wasn't the worship fantastic? And sometimes I get carried away and I might be singing a little bit too loud, but I got to save a little bit of gas for the message. And this is one of those messages where the preacher might lose his voice. All right? It's one of those messages. It's a fantastic passage. And so why don't I open us up in prayer? We'll go to the Lord together. And then we're going to get started in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Father in heaven, God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together to celebrate you, to lift up high your name, Jesus. You are worthy of all of our praise. We pray that you are glorified this morning. Thank you for this time now where we can sit with scriptures open in our lap. And God, our desire is that we could hear from you this morning. We understand that we speak to you in prayer, but God, that you speak to us most clearly through your word. And so I pray that you would speak clearly today, that each of us could have ears to hear. Holy Spirit, help us to receive this truth. This is an important message for all of us. And so help us to respond rightly, to apply it as fitting, and seek to glorify you further. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen. All right. Big idea this morning is this. God rules over all events of life. That's the big idea of chapter 3. Notice there now verse 1. This is such an interesting section of Scripture. My first point this morning is find joy in the season of time you are in. All right, notice there, verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And so Solomon says here, there's an appointed time. Maybe your Bible translation says season. Does your Bible translation say season? There's an appointed time or season for everything. And by season or appointed time, we're not talking about, ooh, it's chilly outside. I guess fall is here. It's not talking about summer's heat. By season or time, we're talking about a fixed period of time. In other words, in God's economy, there is a suitable occasion for everything that happens in life. And so we're going to see this now over the next 8 or 10 verses where Solomon is going to make observations about life. And so often with seasons and time, do you guys ever do this? With seasons and time, there's a temptation to kind of speed through it. You guys ever do that? We just got to get through the diaper days, right? We just got to get through potty training. We just got to get through the fall. It's so busy right now. We just got to get through the middle school years. We just got to get through the spring. Summer's coming. We just got to get through the summer. It's going to cool off. It's going to be great. We just got to get through the fall, though. The fall's so busy. We just got to get through it. We just got to get through it. But what we're seeing here is that time is a blessing from God, and it's something we are to enjoy. Here's the thing, though we can't determine if we will have few days or many days, we can determine, and this is so important, listen, we can determine if our life will be full or empty. And let me tell you about the season of life that my wife Gretel and I are in. We have a middle school son who's very handsome, like his daddy, and yeah, I feel Solomon said something about vanity. I can't remember what it was, though. And so we got a middle schooler. We have two elementary-aged daughters that are not far behind him, and our days are busy. Like a lot of you parents, your days are so busy, right? And our days start, I'm up typically around 5 o'clock or shortly thereafter, and by 6 o'clock, the kids are up. By 6:01, like the day's going, and it's busy, it's so full. Not a single moment of idle time until 8 o'clock at night when they finally go to bed. And so many of you are in a similar season of life, and if you're beyond that, you can certainly remember what it was like. And one of my favorite times of the day, I don't know if you know this, champ, one of the favorite times of the day is to go check on the kids while they're sleeping. And it's nice, right? They're so busy throughout the day to kind of get to see them at peace while they're resting. It's one of my favorite times. And getting to check on them while they sleep. I really like that about this particular season of life. And the point is, enjoy the season and the opportunities that God gives you. Pastor Scott and Carla, you guys have taught Gretel and I this, to make the most of the season that you're in. Don't just try to look forward. Don't fast forward through the season of life that you find yourself today. You know, the same thing goes for the current season that we find ourselves in as a church. This is an exciting season. We love this season. This fall, if you were here, we celebrated our 5th anniversary. Were you guys here for that? Our 5th anniversary as a church. That was awesome. We've now been in this building for 1 year. Can you believe it? And what a blessing this place has been for us. And right now, it seems like everything's new. It's exciting and so many new people to meet. In the last year or two, we've probably doubled in size. And so we're getting to new friends and new church family members and new relationships. And this is a very sweet season of ministry. But certainly with seasons like this comes a few growing pains. Maybe you've noticed that if you get here a little late on Sunday mornings, it's maybe a little harder to find a parking spot. If you kind of walk in maybe a little bit late, it's a little harder to find a seat. That's the season that we are in. And enjoy the season that you're in. It's a gift from the Lord. And just a side note about the season of ministry, one of the great things I think that has blessed me as one of the pastors here at the Grove is to see the incredible interest on your behalf of wanting to become part of our church family. During the last few months, we've had so many of you guys express your interest in membership here. And if you have questions about that, feel free to reach out to myself or one of the pastors after the service. In a few weeks from now, we have Membership Sunday here at the church. I don't know if you guys have been here for that before, but that's a very, very big deal. It's going to be on November 21st. And so if you'd like to join the church family at that time, make sure you get your membership application submitted. Talk to one of us who are pastors. We'd love to serve you in any way that we can. Praise the Lord for what he's doing here. Now back to the text. Notice there verse 2. Let's take a look at some of the seasons of life that Solomon singles out. Notice there verse 2. There is a time to give birth and a time to die. All right, there it is. There's death. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. And this is where it begins and ends. God knows the day of your birth, and God knows the day of your death. Does that comfort you? God is sovereign over time and whatever happens in time. How do you feel about that? Are you okay with the fact that God is all-knowing, all-seeing? He's determined all of your days before you or me were ever born? Is your heart settled to the reality that God alone numbers our days? Sure, it's important. Take the stairs at work. That's good. Take your multivitamin. That's important too. But do you know who numbers our days? God does. Both the cradle to the grave follow God's timetable. Solomon says a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. This is an agriculture idea, which means there's a time to begin and a time to end. There's a time to plant and to grow, and to produce, and to get a harvest. Here's another example. You know, as a church, we started 5 years ago, as you know. Gretel and I didn't have the privilege of being here at that time. We were serving in Miami, where I was a senior pastor for about 10 years. But this church, when we were first starting, we met in a living room. And then they moved to the Holy Land experience, and eventually the Bridgewater Middle School. Anybody remember Bridgewater? I remember Bridgewater. We joined the team after about 6 or 8 months, and then we eventually moved to the Windermere High School, and now in this great place. And since those early days, we've multiplied in size many, many times over. Here's the point. Some things start, some things end. We as a church are in a very good season, but around the country, most churches aren't increasing in numbers. They're in great decline. One church is planted, one church closes its doors. That's what Solomon is saying. That's just the way that it is. There are different seasons. There are different times. As I look out now, I see so many new people. And it's fantastic. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. I hope that you feel warmly welcomed. I can remember in the early days knowing the names of every single person, including their children. And now I realize, wow, there's a lot of folks that I haven't got to know or meet. And something that we're going to do about that is next month, next Sunday, starting in November, we're gonna kind of title it Name Tag November, all right? And so when you come next Sunday, we're going to have a name tag for you. Why do you want to know our name? Because we want to know you, and we'd love to get to know your story. Because let's be honest, it's not cool to call each other, hey, pal. Does anybody call you pal? lately. Hey, pal, how's it going? How you doing there, buckaroo? I don't know why Pastor Jason keeps calling me buckaroo. It's because I haven't figured out your name yet, but I'll get it. Just give me a little bit of time. What's shaking, man? All right? Eh. It's nice to be called by your name, and we're working on that. It's just a season of ministry that we are in. And here's the point. There are different seasons of life. Find enjoyment in the one that you're in. Verse 3 says, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. We don't like this one. It's because life is somewhere between a battlefield and a hospital emergency room. and we kind of live in the middle. In fact, if you just watch the news this week, in the same news cycle, there can be a cold-blooded murder 1 minute, and a miracle drug that's just been released that's going to make your life grand, all right? And that's kind of where we live. I think verse 3 also refers to the seasons of life for those that are sick, which is a season some of you are in right now. Perhaps for you it's chronic illness. There are times when we are well, and there are times when we are not well. Our bodies can be strong and nimble 1 minute, and then things change. And the older you get, the more you start to realize that our bodies are failing right before our very eyes. The question is, in both sickness and in health, is it possible to trust the Lord? In both sickness and in health, is it possible to worship the Lord? Is it possible? Is it possible? In the hard circumstances of life and during the seasons of ease, in both seasons, is it possible to trust and to worship? Because here's the thing, both are given from God. Our faith should be able to rise above the hard times and the difficult seasons and to find joy in the season of time you are in. Notice here verse 4. You're going to love this one. There's a time to weep. Okay, I don't like that part so much, but there is a time to laugh. Yeah, the morning, I'm not crazy about the morning, but there is a time to dance. You see, some of you have brought into this idea that Christians are supposed to be happy all of the time, right? And you're told that when you come to faith in Jesus, you're just gonna be healthy, and you're gonna get wealthy, and you're gonna be giddy all the time. Jesus is gonna make your life grand. Maybe you were told that. Jesus is gonna give you that job promotion you've been working for. Jesus is gonna give you that six-pack abs that you've always wanted. Man, your life is going to be great, all because of Jesus. Jesus is going to make you healthy and wealthy and giddy all the time. And you know what? You know what? In addition to the good times, sometimes you're going to have suffering and pain and encounter evil, and you'll also weep. This is true, I don't know if you know this, but in the book of Psalms, a lot of us, our favorite maybe Old Testament verse would be out of the book of Psalms. But did you know that a massive number of Psalms in the Old Testament are Psalms of Lament? Did you know there's an entire book of the Bible that instructs us how to handle sadness and disappointment and grief? It's called the Book of Lamentations. And so here's a reality check. If you're in a good season right now, I don't want to rain on your parade, but just understand that life isn't all good seasons. If you are in a light season, praise the Lord. If you're in a dark season, understand that both are a part of the Christian life. Don't covet and wish that you were in another time. And so whether you're weeping or laughing today, everything in our lives has its time. You know, the second part there of that verse, time to mourn and a time to dance. Some of you guys aren't too comfortable with this. Maybe you come from a fundamentalist background, or maybe you're kind of a recovering Baptist or something like that. And so you're like, I'll mourn all day long, but you're not going to get me to dance. All right? Mourning, I'm okay with mourning, but no. No time for dancing. I'll mourn. Definitely no dancing. Don't like to dance. But here's the thing, there's a time for both, right? It's a time for both. Verse 5, a time to throw stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to shun embracing. Most commentators suggest this refers to a time to prepare for conflict and a time to engage in conflict. Time to embrace, a time to shun embracing. There are times to delight in our relationships with others. And there are times in our life where we just need to move on from relationships. Verse 6, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away. I think this is pretty straightforward. I can't help but think of our homes when I read verse 6, especially the last part. Do we have any keepers in the room? Keepers? I like to save everything. All right, who's a keeper? Go ahead and raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. I like to save everything. I'm a keeper. How about tossers? Any tossers in the room this morning? Yep, I like to throw things away. I'm a thrower. I don't like to buy stuff. I like to throw stuff away or give it to Goodwill. My wife's always like, hey, do you want to go to the Winter Garden Village? No. Never. Well, how about the mall? You want to go to the mall? You've known me 20 years. I've never once wanted to go to the mall. I don't like to go to the mall. Do you know where I like to go? I like to go to the garbage because I like to throw stuff away or give it to Goodwill. Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's such an interesting verse. Interesting. There's a time to search and there's a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away. I don't mean to meddle here, but practical application is there is a time where you need to clean out your house, where you need to clean out your garage or clean out your closet or clean out your junk drawer or clean out your tool chest or to rid yourself of some excess baggage. Some of you need to go through your clothes. And a few of the husbands here are getting poked in the ribs right now. Sorry, fellas. Sorry. Babe, it's my favorite t-shirt from 1991. It's the year the Twins won the World Series. I can't get rid of this hat. It's my lucky hat. I always play good when I wear this hat. These pants don't fit anymore, but you know what? Maybe they will someday. Maybe they will. And so here's my rule of thumb. If you have to ask, are these pants too tight? Chances are you need to get rid of them. All right? That's all I'll say. Most Americans want a bigger house, but we don't need bigger houses. You know what we need? We need to throw some of our stuff away or give it to those who could use it. Amen? Love Jesus. Remember that stuff is stuff. If you can't use it, give it to somebody that can. And remember, there's a time to keep, and yes, there is a time to throw away. Verse 7, a time to tear apart, and a time to sew together, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. This is a good marriage counseling verse here, and a parenting verse for that matter. Probably a word for all of us, truth be told, which means we need to be wise with our words. You guys heard this? God gave us two ears, and he's given us one mouth, which means we should listen twice as often as we speak. And yet, most of us, isn't it true? We talk twice as much as we listen. And that's not biblical. Proverbs would actually call that foolish. Some of you are like, well, I like to share everything that's on my mind. That's not biblical. And others of you are like, well, I don't like to share what's on my mind. Well, that's not biblical either. So here's how you apply this. Ask God for wisdom, because there is a time to speak and there is a time to keep silent. Biblical wisdom asks, what time is it? Is it a time to stay quiet or is it a time to speak? Because there is a time for both. Notice there, verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. This is another one of those verses that make us a little bit uneasy. While love for our neighbors is the norm for biblical ethics, there's also a righteous anger that is legitimate under appropriate circumstances. Solomon says also a time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for both. This is true nationally and politically, and it's also true biblically and theologically. It's interesting, if you were to go to the left of Ecclesiastes, you would find yourself in Genesis, and in Genesis, there is a flood. And if you look to the right of Ecclesiastes, you will find Jesus coming with a sword to destroy all of his enemies. But right now, we live in the middle where Jesus offers us the gospel of peace. Jesus says, come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does that mean? That means repent of your sin, because now is peace time. If you've never done that, if you've never repented of your sin or placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to settle that. That's not something you want to put off. This isn't something you want to delay. Because at some point in the future, Jesus does come back and war will be declared on the sinner. And you don't want to be caught off guard. Notice there verse 9 and 10. What profit is there? And so kind of taking into account now the previous 8 verses. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. Solomon asks, what's the profit? What's the purpose? What's the benefit? What's the profit here? We see in verse 10 that there is a burden that all of us carry in this life. He uses the word task. It is a task. All of us can look around and see that this isn't the way it should be. Something is broken here. Things are not right. In our life, there can be so much beauty and joy and love, and at the same time, there can be evil and sorrow and disappointment and heartache. And in our heart of hearts, all of us realize that something is wrong with this world. What is it? Well, we find out in Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, it says, for creation was subjected to futility. And so not only were we greatly affected by the fall, but so was creation. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free. Set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So this world is not the way that it was supposed to be. Before sin entered into the world, this world perfectly reflected God's glory. But now we live on a planet under the curse and under the burden and under the strain of sin. And Solomon saw that and he knew that and it frustrated him. And though we can't determine if we will have many days or few days, we can determine if our lives will be full or empty. And whether it's full or empty totally depends on how we respond to the brokenness in the world around us. And so now we've seen there's a time and a season for everything, and we're to find joy in it. Move on to verse 11. Now we're going to see that God is also sovereign in his purposes. All right? Verse 11, second point, God's providence is the ultimate blessing for the believer. God's providence is a blessing. I'm telling you, Christian. Notice here, verse 11. He has made everything appropriate. Maybe your translation says beautiful. He has made everything appropriate or beautiful in its time. He has also set... Isn't this interesting? Do you see it? He set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. And so God's plan with his sovereignty is to make everything beautiful or appropriate in its time, which means every little sorrow that you experience, every single tear that we shed, every hurt, every disappointment, listen, all of it will become beautiful in the end. You may not see the beauty right now, but it's coming. And Solomon says that God has placed eternity, this comes from the Hebrew word olam, into our heart. Eternity means a sense of life and meaning beyond this. Eternity into man's heart. Yet so the man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. What this means is each of us have a divinely implanted awareness that the soul lives forever. All people from all times have this. In every human, there's a God-given awareness that there must be something more. There must be something more. We know it because God has wired it into us. All people from all times have experienced this because God has given every human being this innate sense of Him and that there is meaning and order in this life. When it comes to heaven and hell, when it comes to eternal life and eternal punishment, when it comes to eternity, Jesus will then clarify all of this in his Gospels. For Solomon, he just understands that man has this within him, but he didn't have the answers to sort it out. Jesus would eventually clarify all of this for us. And so if you haven't already, what's stopping you from responding to the good news about Jesus Christ through repentance of sin and faith in him? Because peace with God and a clear conscience, it is possible, but it's only possible in his gospel. And so God's word today through Solomon is our only hope is above the sun and is found in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus alone is the key that unlocks eternity and brings about the lasting hope that all of us are searching for. Notice there, verse 12, couple interesting conclusions here that Solomon begins to draw. Verse 12, here we see that we need to be about God's business, if you want to call it that. Verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is a gift of God. So, rather than becoming embittered about what God has not granted human beings, we should enjoy the gifts that he has given. And so the question is, Jason, what do we do with the first 13 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3? What's the response? How do I apply it, I guess? And kind of what's the response? The answer is enjoy life. It's a gift from God. Enjoy it. So when you got a pocket full of money, enjoy life. When you've got plenty of food in your fridge, enjoy life. When you've got health, enjoy life. When your kids are listening and being obedient on that day, enjoy life. When there's laughter in your home, enjoy life. Enjoy life. It's God's gift. Also, when there's no food, and when there's no money, and health is waning, and death is present, and the children are not being obedient, and everything begins to feel heavy and exhausting, what do you do then? Enjoy life. This is God's gift as well. Notice there, verse 14, again we see God's sovereignty. We need to trust in him. I know that everything God does will remain forever. Interesting, right? I know everything that God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it and nothing to take away from it. Why? Why, Solomon? For God has worked that men should fear him. And so the short-lived vanities of this world reveal all the more clearly the enduring work of God, to which nothing can be added. And so you have the absolute sovereignty of God, and his purposes are meant to bring about human beings to a humble sense of fear and reverence and awe for God. God has done it so that people may fear him. And so maybe today you need the reminder that God is big, and God is capable, and God is sovereign, and God is providential, and he is almighty, and we are very, very, very small. And so let's apply this to our lives. Can we do that? I want to ask you, what is it that you're uneasy about right now? What is it that you're uneasy about? What is it that you're uneasy about? What's keeping you up at night? What has you concerned? What has you anxious? What has you worried? Today, God, through his word, is saying, just listen. This is what God is saying through his word. He's just saying, listen, I've got it. I'm God. I'm in control. You can let go. I've got it. Enjoy the fact that everything that's happening in your life right now is passing through my hands. Enjoy the fact that even if you're tearful and that if life is hard, it's part of my perfect love for you. All right? Trust him. He's capable. Today, God is saying through his word, I've got it. I know it stings. I know it hurts. I'm not abandoning you here. I'm shaping you. So keep praying. Keep coming to me. Your marriage? You want to talk about your marriage? I've got it. Your kids? You want to talk about your kids? I've got them too. What about your health? I've got it. Keep coming to me. You want to have a baby as well? I've got that. Trust me. Don't forget, loved ones, God's providence is the ultimate blessing for the believer. Notice there, verse 15. That which has been already and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what is passed by. Now notice there, last point, verse 16 and following. Without God's plan, there would only be frustration. If God didn't have a plan, then everything here would be frustrating. And that's Solomon's response, because he looks at everything under the sun. All right, this next section is rather heavy, and it's almost as if Solomon yells out with his voice in frustration. And the thing is, without God's plan, it would be frustrating. He says there in verse 16, furthermore, I have seen under the sun. And again, if you're just joining us today, under the sun is looking at life and not factoring in God's eternal perspective. And so to restate, Solomon is saying that throughout Ecclesiastes, that life under the sun, that is life apart from God, it's empty. He's not arguing that life with God is empty. It's not. But those who attempt to live life apart from God know only meaningless. So verse 16, furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice, there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, there is wickedness. Here's what Solomon is saying. When I look under the sun, I see rampant injustice and wickedness, and it frustrates me. Why is this? Because in the place of justice, it has been crippled by the effects of the fall. According to Solomon, there's two kinds of people in this world. One with power and those who do not have power. And so you have the poorest of the poor getting poorer. Yeah, not to mention what we see on the news when we turn it on. Terrorism, human trafficking, children being exploited, crimes against the elderly, abuse of women, lack of justice for the weak. How does Solomon respond to all this? In verse 16, he's crying out with frustration. Listen, notice what he says. In the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. And so today we have a court system, we have marriage, we have the church. What happens when those places that are designed to protect don't protect? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. It's frustrating. Without God's plan, there would only be frustration. I think most of us would agree. We are very thankful to live in this country. We have one of the best systems of justice in the world. Yet even in spite of our system, it is still flawed. Why is that? Because anytime you have sinful people involved who are affected by their fallen condition, that system gets impaired. You ever notice that children from a young age always have a very clear of what's right and wrong? Fairness, what's not fair. Have you guys noticed this, mom and dads? I don't know about you guys, but kids always say this. My kids always say this. That's not fair. He got three, I got two. That's not fair. He got two scoops, I got one scoop. That's not fair. Right? Some of you are like, well, my husband sort of says that. We kind of have this sense of fairness. And we like fairness when it's in our favor, but when we're the offender, we want mercy, not justice. We want forgiveness. In verse 17, here Solomon has a good answer to the problem of injustice. I said to myself, this is his answer to the problem of injustice. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and a time for every deed is there. Solomon's like, the only thing that makes this sad reality tolerable is the certainty that God will judge the righteous and the wicked. Verse 18, this is going to shock you. Prepare to be shocked. I said to myself concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but what? What does he say? Beasts? He said it. I think this is true. At the base level, we're really no different than the beast. You know, if we're cornered, if we're threatened, we'll do the same thing an animal does. We will run or we will attack. We will fight or we will flight. At our base level, man is no different. We are separated. When we are separated from God and when we are separated from the fear of God, man is capable of behaving just like a beast. I know this sounds rough. God has made, just for clarity, God has made each of us with dignity and honor. We find out in God's word that we have been created in the image and likeness of God. However, when we harden our heart and when we rebel against God, man is capable, isn't this true? Man is capable of some pretty awful things. When we are fueled by our flesh, man becomes perverted, bloodthirsty, even murderous. Without shame or restraint, man is capable of anything. This is how life is under the sun. The fittest survive. Now notice Solomon doesn't say that we came from animals. That's not what he says. Look again. It'll shock you what he says. Solomon doesn't say we came from animals. He doesn't say that. But he says that when we descend in our sin, man is capable of acting like a beast. It says, God has surely tested them. Isn't this interesting? In order for them to see that they are but beasts. What that means is our present existence is like a proving ground. That's what Solomon is saying. This is a test. All of this is a test. It's a proving ground that demonstrates who we are. It demonstrates our true character. Now, verse 19, probably the strongest or certainly one of the strongest statements in the Bible about the inevitability of death. Notice here, verse 19. For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of the beast is the same. As one dies, so the other dies. Indeed, they have all the same breath, and there's no advantage for man over beast, for all is vanity. All go to the same place. All came from the dust and return to the dust. Human beings are not animals. But when human beings sin, they can act like it. Now, this goes contrary to what we've been taught. We've been taught that we have an advantage over the beast. What's the advantage? A conscience, a brain, you know. We've been created to believe in Jesus, eternal life. But physically, we're all going to die. And that's what he's saying. Just like your dog, Sparky. Your cat, Poopsy. Your fate is the same as Poopsy's. I hate to say it. And with that, some of you are like, oh, look at the time. Look at the time. Honey, where did we have to be again? I feel like we had to be somewhere. Where is it? No, just hang in there, all right? It ends strong. Just hang in there. We're getting a candid look at Solomon's thoughts. These aren't my thoughts. These are Solomon's thoughts. This is his observations of life under the sun. And what do we see? We see a man who is unwilling to look above the sun. Solomon is only focusing on the horizon and below. Solomon is unwilling to look up in dependence on God. Solomon is unwilling to bow his head in prayer to God. His perspective is strictly horizontal. His observations lack vertical perspective, and all of his conclusions are under the sun. This is why Solomon cries out in frustration, "There is no advantage for man over the beast." And so all week long, I've been studying and praying and kind of living in this text and dealing with the theme of life and death all week. It's heavy, all right? I understand that. It's a little bit gloomy. I realize that. It's got me thinking, you know, through the years, I've had the blessing of officiating more than 50 weddings. I've had the responsibility of also conducting a few more than 10 funerals. And let me tell you this, as great as weddings are, death gets in the way of everything. Death is the roadblock that we will all come to. Death is the great equalizer, because no matter how high you ascend in life, no matter how successful you are, you'll eventually descend 6 feet into the ground all by yourself. death. It's a very sobering thing. And it comes for us all. Are you prepared? Are your affairs in order? I'm not asking if you have a will or a trust set up, even though those things are good and right. I'm asking, are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready for that? Because we can be sure of one thing, all go to the same place, all come from the dust, and all return to the dust. The point here is, without God's plan, there would only be frustration. Let's wrap this up. Two more verses. Who knows what the breath of man ascends upward and the breath of the beast descends downward to the earth? I have seen that nothing is better under the sun, of course. Nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? So Solomon's right. Life under the sun. We will not find justice. We will die just like the beast. The best thing that we can do right now is to be productive and work and to find enjoyment in what we do. Go ahead and close your Bibles there. That's where we're going to wrap it up today. We're going to continue next week in chapter 4. Wow. Today we've seen that there's a time for everything. And we live in a world with injustice, oppression, and death. Where do we turn? The answer for where do we turn is, of course, Jesus. Today we have the promise that if we ask these same questions and look for answers to God that He has for us in His Gospels, we will find the solution to life's problems. So today, if you're left with questions about life and death, you should ask Jesus. Jesus alone is able to bring us to see that which will be after us because He has been through death and has reached the other side. Jesus was put on a cross, but He did not stay dead. On the third day, He was raised again. His body and His spirit ascended to the glory and the right hand of the Father. Now anyone who believes in Him will rise again to a better life. Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us so that we would be where He is. This is why we can be certain about going to heaven. It's because Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality through the light of the gospel. And that's the hope that we have. And so if you'd be so kind, why don't you join me to your feet as the worship team comes out? I'd love to pray for us. Maybe we can have just a moment here to reflect on what we've heard. Father in heaven, as we stand here in your presence, I guess the question of all questions is, have we claimed your promise by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that when we go to the dust of the earth, do we have faith to believe that we will rise again to glory? And we understand that apart from you, Jesus, we would have no hope, we would be lost. But through faith in you, we can have comfort of the resurrection and life to come, eternal. And so for those that are going through a hard season today, right now, I pray that this passage would comfort them. For those that are in a good season of life, I pray that this would give them tools on how to handle the difficult season. That by the grace of God, that we could rejoice in whatever you are doing in our life today. That we could find joy in the season that you have us in, Father. And so, God, we pray, we look to you once again, we trust you, we love you, we give you thanks. Thanks that you're a good God, and we come to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.